I want to invite you to open with me to Colossians chapter 1. That's going to be our focal point for today. We've titled the series, Grow in the Dark. And our ambition is to kind of set our sails in a direction of learning how we can be transformed, take on more spiritual growth and maturity, even in seasons of life that are dark and difficult and hard to navigate. And so God's got grace for us. He's got truth for us. He can actually accelerate our transformation in these moments if we'll receive it. And so today we're going to look at how we can grow in our capacity to know God's will and then do it. And so we're going to talk about growing in God's will. Some of you know about this topic. You've studied this before. You probably know more about it than I do. Some of us, it's brand new. We've never thought about how we even know or understand or take a step in a direction of God's will. So this will be a great adventure no matter where you are in the spectrum of maturity. I think God's going to speak to something for all of us, all right? So verses 1 through 8 were where we looked last week. That's where Paul's kind of vetting the spiritual foundations of this new young church. If they're going to survive the ups and downs in life, you have to have deep spiritual roots. And so we talked a little bit about that last week. In fact, we challenged one another to kind of inspect our own foundations of faith. And we gave you four foundational questions. And I think these four questions are great for you to kind of carry with you, even maybe throughout the whole series. Just keep probing it. What do I believe in? What do I really believe? That's an important thing. What we believe matters. Number two, what am I trusting God for, like right now in my life? If I'm not leaning in and depending on God and looking for God to do something specific in my life right now, maybe my faith roots aren't as deep as I think. Maybe my faith is just something that I think about, but I don't actually employ, I don't do. So we need to be leaning in and trusting God. It's a great question for you to have, you know, with your spouse, with your kids. What are you trusting God for right now? Asking people in your group, what is it you're trusting God for right now? Great question. Number three, how is my faith changing me? So if my faith is really rich and deep, my foundations are strong, it's going to be creating some change in my life. I'm going to see Jesus doing some things in me. If my life's not changing, maybe my faith's not as deep as I thought. And then finally, who is my faith influencing? As God's changing our lives, the intent is to share that light and life with other people. And so those are great foundational questions. If you missed last week, I'd encourage you to go back to the archive, take a listen, and see what God has to say to you about your faith foundations, all right? But today, let's talk about growing in God's will. Look at verse 9. This is a continuation of Paul's prayer passion that first comes up in verse 3 when he says, I'm continuing to pray for you as a church. Verse 9, he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard this. This is referring to the gospel has come to their city of Colossae and it's changing their lives. Since we heard the gospel came to you and has been changing your lives, we haven't stopped praying for you. Now, this word for prayer is the most generic word that could be chosen to describe prayer. It's a real all-inclusive word of different aspects of prayer. If you were to ask me a question like, Pastor, how can I learn to pray? One thing we often teach people is this little acronym, ACTS, A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration. Like in your prayer life, we should have time of praising the Lord, acknowledging who He is. C stands for confession. Just agreeing with God about the areas in our life that are just out of balance and where we need God's touch in our life. T is thanksgiving, just being specifically thankful for things God has already done. S is for supplication, which means bringing my need to the Lord. So all of that is a part of our prayer life, and there's other kind of facets of our prayer life we could include as well. And so when Paul says he's praying for them, it's the most inclusive way of saying, I'm just praying for all of that. But then he dials in deeper. He says, we are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. The word asking, it means to be very, very specific, to ask God for something very specific, not generic anymore, not just kind of all-encompassing prayer, but I'm getting on my hands and knees and I'm asking God to do something very specific in your life. What is it? I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, when we talk about like being filled with God's will, there's an observation here that's kind of obvious, but if we're not careful, we'll overlook it and we'll move past it. The command to be filled implies something is not already full. Okay? You don't go to the gas station when your car is full of gas. You go when you either need to top it off or you need to fill up the tank. So Paul here admits that he's praying for people to be filled with the knowledge of his will because they're not. Now, many of us, if we're just being honest, we are lacking when it comes to spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, there may be people in the room who are professors and you have a PhD and you are a smart cat. There'll be people in the room who are at the top of their industry and you know all kinds of things that make your business work. You may even be really well informed on current events and you could sit down with anybody and have a really high level conversation about just about anything. So I'm not saying that we're dumb in the room. But I am saying we can be really, really smart and yet lacking in spiritual knowledge and maturity. In fact, we find in a number of places in Scripture that people are called out for lacking in their spiritual understanding. One of the clearest examples of this comes in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Look at this. He says, "You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food." Now, I want you to imagine for a moment going to a water park this afternoon. And in the kiddie pool section, there's a grown man frolicking in the water, having fun, but not accompanied by his children in the kiddie pool. Now, if you're to see a grown man playing in the kiddie pool, immediately you would think that's troubling. You might even start to get your phone out and call the popo because there is something wrong with a grown man behaving like that. It's just weird, right? Well, Paul here, as he's praying, he said, "Listen, I'm praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of God's will because it's not right for Christians who've gone to church for a long time, who've been walking with the Lord a long time, but they're not filled with the maturity that Christ expects." Paul says, that's not right. Just like it would be off-putting for us to see a grown man in the kiddie pool, he's saying it's not right when Christians who've been walking with the Lord a long time lack the knowledge of maturity. So I'm praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Now, let me tell you something. As a pastor now for 30 years, I'm routinely asked a series of questions over and over. And a long time ago, I decided I would just chart the top three questions that people ask me. Number two on my like most all-time asked questions is, how do I know God's will? Like, how do I know that this is what God wants me to do? I mean, I want to walk with him. I want to go in the direction that he's leading me, but I don't know. And especially, I hear people asking that kind of question when they're kind of in the midst of maybe a dark season, and it's really difficult. Like, how do I know what God wants me to do? I've had people look at me and say, how do I know I'm supposed to go through chemo treatments? How do I know? If I've got this amount of time left, I mean, how should I manage my time? Should I go through chemo? How do I know that? how do I know when it's right to kind of cut off all communication with my ex? How do I know whether it's right to kick out my adult child who's not honoring the rules of our house? How do I know what God wants me to do? What's his plan for me? Whenever theologians talk about the will of God, almost always there are three different expressions of God's will that we need to be aware of. One would be what we would call the providential will of God. That's a fancy word. It just means the decided will of God, the decreed will of God. These are things that God has willed. This is what I'm going to do, and there is no one or no thing going to stop him. In fact, in Job, it says, you know, the Lord has plans, and who can thwart, who can change the plans of God? The plans he's talking about are the providential plans of God, the things that God has willed to do, and he will do it. For example, like the plan of salvation. It was Father's will to send his son Jesus into the world. It was his will for him to go to the cross. It was his will to raise him from the dead, and nothing was going to stop him. History is moving towards a conclusion. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Folks, that's going to happen because God's willed it to happen. It's his providential will. The second expression of his will is his moral will. This is what he desires from everyone. This is where we would go to the scripture and see all of his commands and his directions clarified in the Bible. So we have moral certainties that we don't have to ask ourselves, I wonder what God thinks about this, or wonder what he wants me to do. You know, the Bible says, don't murder. Don't have any other gods before him. Husbands, love your wives. These are the kinds of things we don't have to pause and go, I wonder what God thinks of that. He's already spelled it out. We know what his moral will is. The third expression is his personal will. His personal will. That means that God has specific things that he wants me to do, that he wants you to do, that are particular, and they are designed for you personally. And so people will ask questions like, I wonder where I'm supposed to go to college. What's God's plan for me in going to college? What's his will for me with regard to this job? Should I take it or not? You know, should we buy this car or not? What is God's will for us? There is a personal will that expresses with clarity like what God wants for you. Now, when the Apostle Paul says, I want you to be filled with the wisdom, the knowledge of God's will, I think he has all of that in mind. But there is a tell in the passage, this word, knowledge, which means personal or intimate information. So by using that word, I think Paul is tipping us off that, yeah, we need to know about his providential will, and certainly his moral will brings clarity into our life, that there are those times when we need to hear from God and know what God wants us to do. And Paul says, I want you to be dialed in and receptive and be filled by a knowledge of God's plan for your life. So how do we do that? Well, the passage has, I think, two prompts that help us kind of get our arms around how we can begin to receive God's will. One is this. He says, I want you to be filled with God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I think both of those give us some information about how we begin to pursue God's will. First, let's think about in all wisdom. All right? That phrase is directing our attention to the fact that we need to be stewards, managers, listen, of our time and our schedules to make sure that we are putting ourselves in position to receive the will of God. In wisdom, this is a technical detail. It's only going to appeal to about two people in the room and three that are online. But there's a technical detail that relates to this being what would be called a locative emphasis. In other words, location, matters. That location becomes an instrument through which how we receive wisdom. Now listen to me. There's all kinds of knowledge in our world, but there's very little wisdom. For you to receive wisdom, you have to be dialed in to a source of wisdom. In fact, there's an old preaching cliche that says you got to get under the spout where the glory comes out. You have to be willing to put yourself in a position to receive the wisdom that God has to offer. That's your choice. So if you're going to be filled with wisdom, you got to make sure and put yourself in position where you can hear and understand what God has to say by way of truth. So you're here today and you've taken that step, but you have to keep taking that step. This is not a one and done thing. You can listen to podcasts. Being in a small group where you have activity of people that are unpacking the word together, you can have someone who's a godly friend who will help you to kind of know what is God saying to you. But you also need to be under the word yourself. That's why we go to such effort to teach you our Bible reading plan so that daily you have a time of positioning yourself so God can speak wisdom into your heart and life, which will fill you with the knowledge of his will for you. So you have to put yourself in position. You have to be a steward of that. You have to be responsible. Mama ain't gonna do that for you. You have to do that for yourself. And then number two, spiritual understanding. Once you put yourself in position to receive wisdom from the Lord, then there has to be spiritual understanding. This is God's part that is just what we would call revelation, where God is illuminating, God is bringing things to life for us. He's revealing things. We now can understand something that maybe we didn't understand or know before because God's revealed it to us. I often tell people when I'm teaching them how to do their Bible reading plan, before you even read the text, pause and just pray a simple prayer. God, I'm listening. I want you to speak to me through this scripture. I'm listening. Shine your light on what I need to see. Because listen, when we're reading the Bible, it's not about your skill set and being able to mine something out of the word. It's about God turning the light on and letting you see and understand something you need to see and understand. And when there's illumination, things jump off the page. Your heart moves. You have a thought that you haven't like had before. It's just God's turning on the light. He's revealing something to you. I love watching how this can happen on a Sunday after the service is over and I'm standing around talking with people. Someone will come up to me and say, you know, when you said such and such, and I'm listening to them, and my first thought, and sometimes I say it out loud, is I didn't say that. I kind of was around that, but I didn't say that. So that wasn't me talking to you. That was God talking to you. He was revealing that thing to you. And so you need to be aware of that, and you need to listen to that and pay attention as if God is speaking directly to you. Now, once you put yourself in position to receive wisdom, you're open to the revelation of God. Now we're framed so that God can fill us with the knowledge of his will. Now verse 10 gives us a very important detail in our pursuit to know God's plan. We have to have an ambition to do what he reveals to us. Look at verse 10. So that, all right? See, be filled with the knowledge of God's will so that in order to walk worthy of the Lord, live your life honoring to the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Let me tell you something. God isn't interested in satisfying your curiosity to know his plan. God's not trying to scratch the itch of your interest to know the will of God. God wants to reveal his plan to you so that you can actually do what it is he's revealing for you to do. He expects us to walk it out. Now, this is a very important detail. In fact, at Turning Point, it is a core conviction that spiritual maturity is marked by mission. That's an important nuance. Because for a lot of people, how they mark maturity is by how much information they amass. And so for them, maturity in Christ is all about going to more and more and more and more Bible studies. And so if you want to kind of showcase your maturity, you're going to tell people how many studies you go to, how many studies you've been through. And so we try to kind of posture ourselves as being mature by how much we know. But the true mark of maturity is not what we know, it's what we do with what we know. That we walk it out, that we live it out, that our life is marked by mission. We actually do the things that God wants us to do. That's what I mean by mission. We're obeying God. The revelation is given for purpose. It's building us up in truth, but truth that we can put into action. And for many of us, listen, if we never learned a new truth, we probably have enough things that we've learned, backlogged, and if we just obeyed what we already knew, we'd have enough to keep us busy for a long time. When my son was first starting to be a football player back in like Pee Wee days, Pop Warner days, and all throughout his career, I would approach him on the morning of his game day by going into his room. He's still asleep. Climb into his bed and kind of get over him kind of on all fours. And I would get down in his face and go, Joseph, do you know what today is? It's game day, Joseph. It's game day. And, you know, his little eyes would pop open as he's. And I would go on, all of that work that you've done, all of that game planning, all of that coaching is now leading up to today. It's game day, Joseph. It's been fun to kind of carry that beyond just sports. So that now, like if he starts a new job, I might call him on the morning of his new job. You know what today is? He's got some other exciting event going on. I'll text him. Do you know what today is? I can't wait till his wedding day. Because I'm going to sneak up into his room on the morning of. And I'm going to get on top of him and I'm going to say, you know what today is? It's game day. All that revelation about being a husband, now you get to put that into action. That, if you can imagine it, that's really what the Lord is kind of building toward in all of our lives. Like once we know something, once something's revealed to us, now it's a matter of action, and we can kind of sense the urgency of the Holy Spirit speaking over us. It's not about what you know. It's about what you do with what you know. It's game day. Now, here's the thing that's so precious about that mandate. If you look at verse 11, God's not even leaving us alone in doing what he's called us to do. Because Paul says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So in other words, not only may you know what you are to do, but the availability of God's power to help you in doing, you're not alone in doing what you're called to do. God will walk with you with his presence and power, enabling you for that to happen. And then not just to get it started, but to see it through for all endurance and patience with joy. God will help you not only start where you need to go with your life, he'll walk with you every step of the way and see it through. As I was studying this week, I came across a quote from Henry Nouwen. He is he's with the Lord now, but he was a Dutch Catholic priest who was known as a mystic. He had a way about him and how he walked out his faith that was just super spiritual, and he would say things and kind of coin phrases that really would pull people in like an awe-inspiring spiritual direction. As he meditated on this passage and the endurance and the patience, and I read what he wrote, I thought, I've got to include that this week because that's for someone. I don't know what service, I don't know if it's somebody that's online, but this is for you, because like all of us kind of process, am I going in the right direction? Do I keep going or do I stop? Listen to what Nouwen says. He says, endurance and patience means the willingness to stay where we are and live the situation out to the full in the belief that something hidden there will manifest itself to us. Impatient people are always expecting the real thing to happen somewhere else and therefore want to go somewhere else, but patient people dare to stay where they are. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever changed horses and later regretted it? Have you ever kind of quit a job and then ways down the line, you thought, man, I don't know, that would maybe wasn't the best decision. Have you ever stepped out of a relationship only later to kind of question, man, you know, I'm not sure that was the right timing for that. Maybe you kind of broke off a commitment, and now you look back and say, man, there would have been value in staying with that commitment. Anybody ever had an experience like that one? Have you ever given a word of encouragement to somebody like, man, you ought to stick it out because in my life one time I didn't, and here were the consequences? There's something powerful about not only moving in a direction that God has for you, but waiting on God to continue the work and bring it to its fruition. There's joy in experiencing that kind of continuance in God's will for your life. I was reading this past week a blog from a lady who is battling brain cancer. And she said that she likes kind of writing out her daily experiences because it's helping her to slow down and reflect on how God is leading her in this very difficult time. She said in her blog that one day after having chemo, she wanted to prepare for her daughter's birthday. Her daughter had a birthday party celebration, and she wanted to prepare for that. But some of you know, like if you go through that kind of chemo treatment, it's exhausting. And so not feeling like she had the strength to do it, she just leaned on the Lord and God gave her the strength to get through that and really enjoy it. She got to the end of the night and she decided to kind of write down her thoughts about the day. And one of the things that she communicated is she felt like she would be depressed all day about the birthday party because of her mind thinking, maybe this is my last one. And she started rehearsing maybe all the birthdays that she would miss in the future. And she thought, I really think that today's going to be a bummer. But what she found was amazing joy. And not so much thinking about the ones that she was missing, but enjoying the one she had. And she wrote down in her journal how much joy came in following Jesus today. And I think that's true. If God has a direction for your life, He's got a will for your life, He's got a plan for your life, if you'll just put foot to path and follow Him, we'll find joy for that day. Passage closes by calling attention to Father. It says, giving thanks to the Father who's enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. We have redemption and the forgiveness of sins in Him. The intention is to let us see how skillful Father is in loving our lives, forgiving us, enabling us with power. And so it's building a sense of confidence. If this is who is in charge of our life, then why wouldn't we take the step that He directs? So here's our goal, wrapping up this morning. I want you to think about kind of your next steps in pursuing God's will. What is that for you? One may be just making the decision to put yourself in better position to receive the wisdom of God that fills you with the knowledge of His will. And some of you, maybe your best thing to do is to decide today to go get that reading plan on the way out today. And just put yourself in a daily position to hear from the Lord, or maybe to join a small group so that you're in position, so as God starts to reveal his wisdom to you, it fills you and you have a better understanding of what God wants you to do. Second, it may be that you already know what God's plan is for you and you need to resolve to do what he's revealing, to put a priority on not just stockpiling information about God, but actually acting on what you know. And there's a resolve that comes. You know what? I'm going to do that. And then third, kind of behind that one, is put a sense of urgency behind your obedience. What is it God is revealing for you to do? Are you clear about it? Resolve to do it, and then let a spirit of urgency get behind you. I used to tell my kids all the time, maybe you said something similar. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Because I'd give my kids something to do, and they'd go, Daddy, I'll do that in a minute. I'll do that later, Daddy. Can I do that in the morning, Daddy? And I would look at them and say, delayed obedience is disobedience. You better to get up and go do it now. And so I would say spiritually for us, as God reveals his plan for us, if we have clarity, we ought to have a resolve to do that and then put some urgency to our obedience and not delay our response to go in the direction that God has for us.